By now, you can probably recite the usual narrative about forest fires in the region, that the woods are overstocked by years of fire suppression, and thinning will be necessary, combined with prescribed burns to reduce the fuel loads. There are many variations on that narrative, but so far, research has tended to focus on either fire suppression or prescribed burning. Now let's meet a researcher who was part of a team looking into both. Alan H. Taylor is professor of geography and ecology at Penn State University and interim director of the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute there. Dr. Taylor, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. Let's work backward from the headline, which is fire operations prescribed burning combo reduces wildfire severity up to 72%. That figure alone sounds too good to be true. What is the combo referring to?
Yeah, so often people, particularly in the Park Service, so this work was done on national park lands, and they are limited mainly to using prescribed fire to thin forests, to reduce the potential for high-severity fire. And there's been a lot of work on that in the parks and in national forest lands, and it shows that it's pretty effective. Those places are also used by firefighters in a strategic way to try to prevent fires from escaping their park or escaping a unit. And no one has looked at that combination before to see how prescribed fires affect how fire people influence what they do to really reduce the potential for fire spread and severe fires. And so we were able to put that two together.
All right, so essentially a combination of things that had generally not been considered together in previous research?
That's right. And one of the things that's really important about that is a lot of effort is put into thinning work, and, you know, it's been demonstrated over and over again that it's effective, but in combination it's extremely effective, and that's really helps bolster the argument that that we need to do more of it, and it's going to help us reduce the kind of damage we're seeing in the fires that are currently burning in California right now.
When you talk about firefighters using parts of the park for operations, I mean, is this strictly putting out fires, or is it some back burning? I guess I'm just trying to get an idea for what goes on in there.
Yeah, so when you look at operations, there's a number of different things that firefighters will do. Backburning would be one, where they light a fire and it burns into where the fire is moving into to reduce fuels. They can do that during the day, or they might do it at night under more moderate weather conditions. They build hand line, they build dozer lines, they use air tankers to drop retardant. They use helicopters to drop water. And so they have this whole set of tools they can use, and they where you have areas that have been prescribed burn, they use them very differently than where areas haven't been prescribed burn. And so it's an effective strategy to sort of fight fires at the landscape scale when you have both together.
All right, so it was three partners here, Penn State University, where you work, Park Service, obviously, Lassen Park, and the Forest Service.
That's correct, yeah.
Why Penn State, far from the wildfire zones of the West?
Well, that's a good question. It's actually personal. I grew up out in California and have done a lot of work in Northern California and Southern Oregon, and I developed a long-term relationship with the people in Lassen Park and have been doing work there for 30 years, and that produced a really unique set of relationships where I've been working with the same people for decades. And that's pretty critical when you're trying to reconstruct what firefighters did on a particular fire. And so we were able to work with the person who is in charge of the suppression efforts and in charge of the fire and interview him in great detail and understand exactly what they did on different days to account for it in our model to determine how effective it was. And so that's why it's so very difficult to do, because those records aren't usually available to researchers. They don't know necessarily who the individual was and could interview them. And so it was a really nice opportunity, basically built on personal relationships over time, that allowed us to do this. But I think there's real potential to do it in other places as well. It just hasn't been done before. Well,
that's really interesting when I think about the way that, that you tend to approach research with all kinds of data sets. I don't think we tend to discount the idea, the fact that there is some information that is just contained in some people's heads.
Yeah, it was critical in this point. And there are records of it, but they couldn't reconstruct where on the land. You can't, from historical records alone, where on the land they did things and what tactics they used, when they burned at night, when they burned during the day. And so Calvin Ferris, who was our Park Service contact, was able to get with his team and actually go back day by day and associate what they did with the specific types of operations. And then we were able to build a model of how fire would have burned without those and how it did with them, and that's how we come up with that combination of 72% in combination. So it was just a wonderful opportunity to really look at this question in detail.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. The 72% is the figure for the reduction of wildfire severity when fire operations are combined with prescribed burning. The long title for the research published in the International Journal of Wildland Fire in May is called Prescribed Fire and Fire Suppression Operations Influence Wildfire Severity Under Severe Weather in Lassen Volcanic National Park, California, USA. We're talking to one of the four authors, Alan Taylor, who is with Penn State University as both professor of geography, and ecology, and interim director at the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute. You may have questions about the kind of combination we're talking about here, about forest or fire management in general. You're welcome to join the Jefferson Exchange. We are live at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So obviously talking about fire operations, there was a fire in Lassen Park. And is it pronounced Redding or Reading?
Redding fire. Yeah.
Okay, so REA, yeah, that kind of, like Redding in Pennsylvania, what do you know?
Yeah, exactly, and like in Northern California as well.
Mm-hmm. So give a sketch of what it did to the burn area in question here.
Yeah, okay, so it took off, essentially, in a wind event, which happens often in the fires in Northern California and Southern Oregon, and it basically killed the canopy in that wind event, and then it started to spread further to the east and the north. And so it was a pretty high severity fire, very difficult to contain. They had a very significant amount of resources on it in terms of hand crews and aerial attack. And so it actually burned through about 30% of the park. So if you go to Lassen Park today, it's a very different landscape than it was. And on the north boundary, they had done prescribed burning as part of their fire management plan to try to prevent it from going out of the park and affecting Forest Service lands, because that had happened in the past. And so they used that as an anchor, if you will, to set up their fire operations, because they knew they'd have a better chance to control what happens in that sector of the park than in other places. We went out right after the fire, and we calculated how much forest cover loss there was and related to satellite images, then used those satellite images to estimate fire severity, and then combined it with weather data, daily fire spread, vegetation cover types, elevation, and a number of different variables, water deficit and so on, to make those predictions of what the severity of the fire, and then how prescribed fires affected, and then how the operations that they chose to use affected the loss of forest cover.
Is there a standing formula for figuring which data you're going to take? It sounds like it could be incredibly painstaking if there weren't, to figure out what to include.
Good question. There's no simple formula. So we put it all into the model and let the model select the most important variables. And so elevation came out as being important, for example, in the initial severity model, and vegetation type, because some kinds of trees are more susceptible to being damaged than others. With prescribed fire became an important variable, as did operations when we combine them. Yeah, so it's you let the model select the variables based on how important they are in combination.
All right, so what you ended up with then was an area that had burned, and some of those areas that had been burned had prescribed fire already in them?
That's correct, yeah. And so the patterns of burning of forest loss in those areas was quite a bit lower, about 32% lower.
Mm-hmm.
And in the areas where there was operations in combination with the prescribed fire, it was 72% lower. And in other areas, it wasn't as low. And so where there was no prescribed burning, we had much higher fire severity, and there was much more forest canopy loss.
So how different, how much of a difference did the type of firefighting operations make? I mean, you just described several different approaches, you know, the hand lines, dozer lines, back burns, air support, either by plane or helicopter, which are going to do some somewhat different things in the landscape themselves between those two. So was there any particular thing that emerged from this research that indicated which type of firefighting operation combined with prescribed burns might be the most effective?
Yeah, one of the things that did come out was they did quite a bit of night burning when they were back burning under moderate conditions, and that really seemed to reduce the severity of the fire as it moved through. And so they, you know, used those night burns in combination with the areas that had been prescribed burned before to try to reduce the fuels into the area where the fire was burning. And so that was a very effective strategy. Particularly at higher elevations, so they backed that fire down towards the area where it was burning. So that worked out well. And then certainly the heavy operations, the tanker attacks and so on, were very important in certain sectors of the fire. They were really trying to prevent it from going into areas where there was developed areas, structures, and so on. And so it was very important in those locations as well.
So you get, when prescribed fire is combined with fire suppression, you reduce the fire severity. After suppression in that circumstance, would more prescribed burning be called for then?
Yeah, so if you just use prescribed fire in an area that has been growing vegetation for 100 years, what happens is if you're burning at a fairly low temperature, the smaller trees will generally be killed, and those smaller trees will fall down and become fuel for the next fire. And so one of the key things we did find out was in the areas where there had been prescribed burns before, if the fire occurred within 10 years, then those were very low severity. So having fire on the landscape before a wildfire sometime within 10 years really reduced the severity. And so fire needs to be, if you're going to use prescribed fire, it needs to be used frequently enough so that it maintains those lower fuels.
Which is something that's been talked about quite a bit in the last few years, the idea that we're probably looking at more smoke in the spring and fall. In order to reduce the amount of smoke that comes out in the summer. I'm sure you've been part of that discussion.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've had smoke there in the last week or so from the fires to the south of you. And so the how much is combusted contributes to how much smoke there is. And so if you reduce the amount of fuel over the long term, it's going to reduce the amount of smoke. It might be spread over a longer season, but it'll be controllable. That's one of the things I think that is really potentially a useful perspective to think about in using fires is you can control when you're going to create the smoke. You can let people know, and it'll be occurring under different conditions than, you know, the wildfires that are happening now, and we don't have much control.
Right. Yeah, you're letting people know in advance would probably have a lot, a big benefit in public relations, certainly.
Absolutely.
Alan Taylor, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Alan Taylor is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, professor of geography and ecology at Penn State University and interim director of the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute there, leading research in Lassen Park in recent years to look at the effects of combining prescribed burns with firefighting operations, fire suppression operations. You can join us on the Exchange. A couple minutes left if you want to get a question in. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you're familiar with this. I mean, having been there on the ground, once you plug things into the models, though, and got some results back, were there any particular surprising moments for you?
Well, we were surprised that it was so effective, that the combination turned out to be so effective. We were uncertain when we started because no one had actually done this before, and we were really pleased. Now, it's only one study, one place that's not been done before, and so what we're really interested in is trying to validate this in other places, see if it's a common pattern. And if you think about what's happening right now in the Bootleg Fire in eastern Oregon or in the Dixie Fire in California, it's burning over some of these kind of treatments. Mm-hmm. And it's under extreme weather conditions. are they being effective? And we found in Lassen that, you know, even under extreme conditions, this was a useful approach, that just by itself the treatments worked, but in combination with where the firefighters would make decisions, it was very effective. And knowing that in the long term is important, because it will influence how much funding local, state, and federal agencies might put towards these kind of activities. If it can be demonstrated that it's very effective, then I think if there's a reasonable argument that it's going to reduce these, you know, very, very significant fire suppression costs we're looking at now of several billion a year.
Alan, does it suggest some kind of strategic use of prescribed burn in the sense of, you know, not section by section or, you know, going with squares on a map, but like this ridge to that ridge to act as something like a slowdown, a fire break?
Absolutely, yes, it does. That, you know, putting them in certain places in the landscape where you can expect severe fire because of fuel conditions makes a lot of sense, and in combination with road networks or other places, they've put in standard fuel treatments that don't use prescribed fire. So this kind of strategic thinking, I think, at a landscape scale will be very, very useful in the long run, and that sort of approach is being looked at a lot in right now as a way to sort of get a handle on the fire problem, which we're all very familiar with.
Right, and you certainly can't treat all the forest all at once. It's going to take quite a bit of time to do all the cleanup of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. What further research then to go on either out of Lassen or in other areas with similar focuses?
Yeah, what we're looking at now, which I think is very interesting, and even in your area right now, is how fires interact over time. And one of the things that we've found noticed is that when you start to have multiple fires in a row, that the conditions that an initial fire makes are play forward, essentially. And so if an area burns hot the first time and it kills the forest canopy, when it burns again, that tends to happen again. If it's a low-severity fire and it maintains the forest cover, the next fire tends to be that way. And so what it's telling us is that that initial set of conditions and burn effects are going to be very important in determining what happens in the future. So you want to do burning under moderate conditions so you don't lose the forest canopy over time.
Just a little less than a minute left here. Are you doing any field work this summer in this kind of research?
Yes, I was, and I just got back and experienced the heat wave that we all had out there in Oregon and California.
I'm sorry. Yeah, then you went back and got it there too in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it wasn't as bad as the 115 that you were having out there. But yeah, so we were doing field work and looking at actually forest recovery in these areas that burned at high severity, because that's one of the questions, long-term questions, is how will forests recover? And so we were out in the field in the Redding Fire footprint and some other fires to assess that.
Okay, we'll be looking for more research down the road for sure. Alan Taylor is professor of geography and ecology and interim director of the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute at Penn State University, part of the research that indicated that fire operations combined with prescribed burning reduces wildfire severity up to 72%. Alan, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.